Tonight we're going to be looking at doing business with God. Now, what we're doing on Sunday nights, I'm pulling in the outlines of sermons I thought I was going to preach and never preached. You all know this happened. But I know that these would be great studies for us where we can talk about them, discuss them, or look at the scripture and say, does this apply to me? What can I do? One of the great faults that all of us have, not just as human beings, but especially as Christians, one of the great faults is when we're reading scripture, we say, you know, that speaks to so-and-so. You know, they really need to hear this scripture. But seldom do we look at the scripture and say, oh, that's me. But we can always look and see the faults of others. Have a hard time seeing our faults. One of the greatest faults, that we will have is finding fault in others based on our frame of mind, our frame of reference. Well, no, if I was in that situation, here's what I would do. You don't have no idea what you would do, and you hear me preach that all the time. But so often that we will say, now, if he had done this or if she had done that, that wouldn't have happened. You don't know that, nor do I. So what we look at is, what does the scripture say about the different areas within our own life? Search the scripture, focus that scripture on us, on the big me's and the big we's, and you focus that scripture into your own mind, and then as we search the scripture, we also search each step that we take. As a Christian, you and I are to walk with the scripture. You and I are to use the Holy Word of God as an outline for our existence on earth. You and I are to take God's Word, and as we take God's Word, read God's Word, we have to pray, meditate on God's Word. And then again, when we're doing this, we apply God's Word to our relationship with Him and our relationship connecting with others. You and I have a responsibility as Christians to relate to the world, to relate to the world in a way to where the world wants to hear the truth. A lot of those in the world don't want to hear the truth. And the reason they don't is because of the individuals who profess to know the truth, the way they're delivering that truth to them. You know, you can be strictly biblical. You can say, thus saith the Lord thy God, and that's what he said. But if you don't say it in the right way, you can do a lot of harm. It's just the word. It's just the truth. Look, if it's the truth, if you fit, you got to wear it. Well, that means that when we make that statement, we just have inserted our own shoe in our own mouth. Because as we travel through life, we must realize that the mistakes that you and I will see others make, others see those mistakes in our life. So what do we do? Do we just leave it alone and tell everybody just to go and do whatever? No. But what we do it in love. We do it in kindness. The preacher doesn't preach a sermon about hell with a smile on his face. The focus that you and I are to have with God's Word is to take God's Word and to allow God's Word then to speak to the heart of those around us. It does not need to be our words. It needs to be a word from God. Those who are seeking help, truth, those individuals are that many will say they need a word from God. Too often we want to give them our advice. Well, our advice and free advice is it's you get what you pay for. And that free advice that we are offering so often is not of God. What if you're to give a person advice You know, that person's wanting to hear the advice you're giving them. You love them. You care about them. So you're going to give them the advice to make them feel good about themselves. And you give that advice to them and say, well, you see, you're not wrong in what you're doing. You're just fine. The advice that you gave to help will do much more to harm. God says, I'm going to give you a purpose in life. And tonight we're going to look at the 6 purposes of work. 6 purposes of work. You and I are doing business with God. To do business with God as a Christian means that I'm to be about my Father's business, right? Remember Jesus making that statement? So business with God for each of us as Christians is a focus that God's business is in life and in peace and in joy that he wants. God is in the business of saving souls. He's in the business of watching out for his family, the souls that are saved through the word that he has given us. Therefore, each as a Christian, we work for God. Now, that's not just a statement that you're going to throw out there, an arrogant, say, who you work for? I work for God. No arrogance is meant in that. I remember for years, people tried to find out the purse strings to Chaplain Vance where they could control Chaplain Vance. And when Chaplain Vance would say, I work for God. You want to go to somebody, get in touch with God. He's quite capable of stopping Chaplain Vance or anybody else. But as we look through the Word and realizing I'm in business with God and for God, and as Christians, then we take the Word. Let's listen. 6 purposes of work. Purpose number 1, the most basic motivation for work is necessity. Therefore, God then blesses me, blesses you, with the necessity of having to work. Well, if I don't work, I can't eat. If I don't work, I'm going to get awful cold this winter. If I don't work, if I don't do this, God says, as a Christian, the things I give you are allowed to come in your life are for your good. Necessity. Now think about when it wasn't. Now think about this. There was a point in history when work was not necessary. The work as we know it today. Garden of Eden. God gave them the fruit. They hadn't pruned anything. Here they are walking around and they are blessed by being in God's garden, God taking care of them. God had done all the work, made sure that everything was even going to be named. So told Adam, here's what you do. So God, complete control. Right now we look at our lives and we understand that if it's not necessary for us, so many things we're just not going to do. You know, if it's not necessary for me to help correct a child or help do this, then I'll leave it to somebody else to do. It's out of necessity that you and I will walk closer with God. Reading the scriptures, reading all of the prophets, you realize that it was out of necessity when the battles were getting ready to be fought, that God's servants said, well, I'm going to have to pray about this one. There's so many enemy out there, I can't count them. Therefore, realizing that as a human being, you can only do so much, total dependence on God. Well, what does God want every day? Total dependence on him. He also, though, in our total dependence, and we admit that we are totally dependent on him, he wants us to do his will so we will receive the blessings. God wants to bless us. And when you and I are dealing with the personality or hurting people or whatever may be going on, when you can understand by listening that something you said, something you've done has helped them, then you feel good on the inside for being able to help someone. Work is no different. We have to be motivated to work. The motivation is, I got to eat. Family's got to eat. But friends, we're in a generation again. And I'm not saying these generations haven't been in the past. I just didn't live in those days. We have people that have no intention of working. They make the average right now, if a person is drawing, I noticed out of New York, I don't know what it is out of Kentucky, but of all the subsidies, and I'm not against it, if the need is there, it's taken care of. Needs to be taken care of. The corruption's because the churches were pushed out. You didn't see the corruption when the churches handled poverty within their own area because the pastors and the others knew who was trying to game the system, or you know, knew whether they were lying because we knew them personally. But there are many people right now, base out of New York, of subsidies not to work. They average $40,000 a year income. That's what's given. $40,000 per year to do nothing. They add up all from the food to the travel to everything else, including the schools and all, and it's $40,000 a year. Even in New York, folks, $40,000 a year is a pretty good chunk not to do anything for it. And then demand that people do more. I have a heart that reaches out to people that are hurting. I have within that heart, though, a part of me that when they start playing the game, I'm not going to play. Help people. Do what you can. Work. Proverbs 12, verse 11. The one who stays on the job has food on the table. Sounds good, right? 1 Timothy 5:8. If anyone does not provide for his relatives and especially for his immediate family, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. Interesting. See, Paul dealt with that at Corinth all the time. But it was the idea there. They were, main problem with that crew was that it's getting all the preparation for the Lord's Supper, and this crew comes in, eats all the bread, drinks all the wine before the Lord's Supper. And then that's when Paul started throwing them out at Corinth. That's when he said you had to, you remember a statement of search yourself to see whether or not you are worthy? It was unworthiness of how they were using it, the Lord's Supper. Well, that's a different sermon. 2 Thessalonians 3:10, whoever doesn't want to work shouldn't be allowed to eat. I would take care of their kids, but they're out the door. And now, you know, doesn't that sound rough coming from, well, it sound rough coming from a normal preacher, but it's a fact. It is a fact that when you attempt to change the laws of nature, the law of God, you're going to reap what you have sown on that. So now we deal with, well, I know this is bad, but I'm going to let you know, I want you to think about it. And you all have heard me say one part of it several times. In the United States of America, our poverty-stricken folk within our own nation are obese. We do not have hungry, poverty-stricken people in our nation. They're not there. smoke cigarettes, talk on a cell phone, and watch some of the nicest big screen TVs you ever saw. Now, is that a put down? It's a fact. It is a fact, my friends. So what's gone wrong? Once if I don't have anything, I become dependent. Then I'll become used to somebody giving me something. I will be angry with them when they cease giving it. It will upset me if they cease giving. And every one of us have run into that. Normally it's within our own families. We will see that kind of stuff. But God says, you need to be motivated to work, so therefore you're going to get hungry. How are you going to feed your family? Many parents in our generation, folks, don't care whether their family eats or not. Just don't care. Get the youngins in there and throw them some 2 or 3 day old pizza and leave it alone, because we've got to go out and party tonight. All right, Proverbs 13:4. Lazy people want much but to get little, but those who work hard will prosper and be satisfied. I love to work. I love to get out and mow. It takes me 5 to 6 hours without the boys telling them I need them bad. I worked them all summer. They leave, and I think, no, you boys don't need a college education. Get back here and work for your pastor. But you and I feel good when I work. I enjoy working. I enjoy the exercise. I have fun doing it. But I need to be at peace in it. And I need to be at peace in my heart with others. I need to love the child of the parents that don't care about them. Somebody needs to love those kids. That somebody, if they're around me, is me. I need to see them blessed in a way to watch your little eyes dance out of being happy, not out of fear. And you and I, in taking the gospel to whoever it might be, we must take it in a way to where the parents will stop us from ministering to their children. None of us would do anything that would harm a child, especially knowing that what we're doing is going to harm the child. We're not going to do it. The cultures in our nation, plural, the subcultures, and gosh, God bless her mom, always says, just common sense ought to tell them this. And she said, you mean there's people in this world that don't know that Jesus is the Son of God? And there's people that don't want to know it. They do know it. And you mean, it doesn't make any sense what they're doing. Well, as all of us realize, common sense is not that common. And you and I, though, we must be that picture. We must be the vision that the child looks at. Facetiously, I say, push the parents out, that's fine. But I'm doing that to bring a point to the child. That child needs to be protected and taken care of. Many years ago, there were 3 young boys. And this was when I just got started in the ministry and in the chaplaincy all at the same time. I've mentioned this before to you all. It's from Glendale Children's Home. And those 3 boys were arrested because they ran off from the home. I had them down at the jail in Hardin County. And the 3 boys told me why they left, and that they were being sexually abused by a staff member at the home. And I foolishly in those days said, you won't ever have to worry about them harming you again. And that was a foolish statement I made with the kids. I learned something real quick, that when you make those kind of promises, the only way those kind of promises can be kept is if you're around somebody 24/7. When you promise that you're going to protect them and they tell the whole story. And after telling the whole story, the leadership was attempting to put the blame on someone else because the one who really did it was a staff member. And the staff member was not fired, but transferred to another one of our schools, our homes. Now, and I was told, I set the Baptist back 30 years for confronting them with it. Good. I'd like to knock the Baptist back longer than that. If when you call evil good and good evil, that is sin. And, you know, I've thought of those boys, oh gosh, they're all, that's 30 years ago. That's, whew. I'm getting up there, girls. Yeah. But how many kids in between now that have you seen that were just pushed out, that break your heart? How many times have you tried to have one or to you know, be a friend, to be someone that the child can look up to because you say, I love you, and give them a hug, and you're told you can't do that anymore? Yeah, that's the world. Okay, purpose number two. Our purpose for work is identity. 1 Peter 4:10, each of you has been blessed with one of God's many wonderful gifts to be used in the service of others. So use your gift well. There is nothing wrong with enjoying the gifts that God has given you and seeing the blessing of those gifts. The workman is worthy of their hire, of seeing the gifts that God has bestowed upon you. But you've got to remember, He gives us the gifts to help others. And God knows who will help others, and God knows who won't help others. So He gives us that gift, and He says, use your gift well. God does not mean, or doesn't tell me, that I can't do something out here that in the secular realm, with the gifts that God has given me, you know, in working with kids or whatever the problem is that God has gifted me to deal with. I can go out there and I can do that. But where God's really changing with us, or our mind, is a focus to where God says, I want you to use your gift for others. We get greedy with the gifts. You know, when you hear me talking about the money part, or hear me talking about, you know, the giving, and sure you should. I take it that everybody who is a Christian is going to do what God called them to do with their finances and everything else. That's not for the preacher to get involved in that. It's what you're supposed to do, do it. And then if you don't have anything because you don't do it, that's tough. God's the one that does the blessings, not the preachers. So, the identity we have is in God give us a gift, right? Do we use it well? Do we use the gift just for personal gain, or do we use the gift as an offering or as a blessing to someone else? Galatians 6:4. Be sure to do what you should, for then you will enjoy the personal satisfaction of having done your work well, and you won't need to compare yourself to anyone else. Gosh, you know, this comparing personality thing is just gone wild. Well, yeah, I do that, but at least I'm better than Larry Vance. At least I do what he does. I don't know what I do anyway, but in their mind. you and I, work is a way that we relate through Christ to others what we believe. Purpose number three of work, that deals with our maturity. Developing our character. It's hard to study. I love studying. I love reading. And I do both all the time. And I love it. But my problem is sometimes I have to read the same passage at least 20 times. And then sometimes I don't get past three verses, folks, in one day. You know, I think, okay, I got this one of three verses, absolutely, because everybody says anybody can catch this. Anybody can understand what God is saying. So I realized I'm not anybody, because I ain't getting it. And so therefore, I continue reading and reading. And here's something that's not a surprise to you. I will think, okay, this is what God says that is the answer there. Fine, settled it in my mind, and then I get in the pulpit. And then God tells me what it really means. You know, I can just hear all the heavenly hosts laughing because Larry thinks he really knows what he's getting ready to say. And God said, I want you to mature in character. You see, it is our character that people are going to look at. Why do people, when they attempt to destroy you, what's the first step? Destroy the character. Watch that in politics. You'll see a lot of it. Hit them in their character. Well, God says that'll help you mature. Listen to Luke 16, verses 10 through 12. Whoever can be trusted with very little can be trusted with much. If you have not been trustworthy in handling worldly wealth, who will trust you with true riches? And if you have not been trustworthy with someone else's property, who will give you your own? See, God pays attention to everything we do. Remember that scripture this morning? The only one that I think I ended up getting to read, the scripture this morning about Jesus. There he is in the temple, standing by the door for one purpose and one purpose only. To see, the scripture says, what others were putting in the offering. He wanted to see what was being put in the offering. And he wanted to see it so he could teach all of us a special lesson. One of the greatest teachings of that is he's still looking at the offering box and watching what people put in. Do you put in according to your wealth? You put in according to your poverty? Or do you put it in because you know it's the right thing to do out of love? Do you give from the heart or give begrudgingly? If God says, if you are begrudging your gift, keep it. He don't want it anyway. But then you see people fall, and they fall under the own weight of their insecurities and of their, well, you know, it really doesn't mean this. If I give of my time and my talents and volunteer and I do this, everything is fine. And I just can't understand at all why I keep having trouble into finances. And my statement is always the same. God blesses what you give him to bless. He will bless what you give him to bless. But this foolishness that we have, Christian, of thinking that God is saying, okay, or I go up and I say, all right, this is God's money. What I have is God's money. Whether it's 10%, 25%, whatever it might be that's setting aside, that belongs to God. So I give whatever it is to God. And then I stand back, and if God doesn't pay me back, I thought I said it was God's. And if it was God's, why am I sitting there waiting for him to give me double my money back? What was in my heart thinking that that's what God's talking about? The wealthiest person is a pauper at times compared to the man with a satisfied mind. Money won't buy back youth when you're old, a heart that's grown lonely, or a love that's grown cold. Matthew 25:21, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Faithful. He didn't say, oh, you've given me a lot of return on my investment. You've been faithful in a few things. You've been faithful with the penny I gave you. And with that penny, you gave it all. You've been faithful, the widow's mite. You've been faithful. Therefore, I will give you much. God says, I will give to those that I can trust. Doesn't mean that poverty people that are Christians have not, they have sinned and God's not blessed. Doesn't mean any of that. It simply means that you and I, well, don't you remember that judgment? We will judge ourselves at that judgment. Our actions will have judged us. It's not somebody saying, oh, he did this, she did that. No. God says, when you stand before me, you, your own actions will be your judge. And I'm afraid that sometimes we just don't take it serious enough. We just cheapen God's gift to us. And we break it down into the more I can get, the more I'm going to hold on to. Be careful with that, folks. Purpose number four is credibility. That's pretty difficult to see credibility in the life of individuals who refuse to work, who refuse to help. But now, this is not scriptural, so listen to it, because I've heard people telling it to people. Well, you know what God says, God helps those who help themselves. No, it's not biblical. He helps those who can't help themselves. That's not biblical. But 1 Thessalonians 4:11-12, take care of your own business. Ooh. And do your own work. If you do, then people who are not believers will respect you. That's on the job market, say, out in a secular world. People professing to be Christians, and then they try to cheat on their hours or do any of this. And then the others that don't profess to even have any kind of belief, they wouldn't do that themselves. Be careful. Matthew 5:16. Your light must shine before people so they will see the good things you do and praise your Father in heaven, not praise you. If they're praising you, then you need to redo it. You need a do-over. Because our actions must be focused on helping folks, taking the message. But Christ, his picture must come in their mind. It must be all that we do to glorify God, to where God not just gets the glory. We share our heart and have them understand God is the glory. Difficult. Colossians 3:17. Whatever you do or say, let it be as a representative of the Lord Jesus. You know, only Christians have a right to do that. Now listen to me, Christian. Do you realize that only the gifts from Christians will God bless? Only the gift from Christians will God bless. You see, the lost world does not have a right to give to God's church. People say, well, that sounds so rough. No, it doesn't. God says, I will bless my children. He's not going to be blessing a non-believer. They might be multi-wealthy and all of this, but the blessing cannot be given for their wealth. Blessings are given for the commitment within the heart to Jesus Christ. So therefore, non-believers, you will hear me say that a lot of times. If you're visiting with us, don't put any money in, you know, just fill out the form and do this. Because I don't know whether or not they're Christian. And it's a fact that it's not like some of my full gospel buddies say, well, the devil's used it long enough. It's time we use it. Give it to me. But that's not biblical. Only Christians permitted to observe the holy ordinance of baptism? Isn't it only Christians that's permitted to observe the holy ordinance of the Lord's Supper? Because anyone who will partake of the Lord's Supper that do not know Christ as Lord and Savior of their life, they, in taking of the Lord's Supper, they bring the damnation on themselves for doing it. Only Christians can do that. It is an honor to get to give to God's house. It is a great honor to be able to partake of the Lord's Supper and doing this in remembrance of who Jesus is. That's an honor, and it's only given to the believers. Do others do it without knowing you? Do I stop people that I may know are non-believers just out of conversations I had with them when they come through for the Lord's Supper? No, I won't stop them. Why would you cause trouble like that of embarrassment? They would never have it. But the blessing can only come if they're true believers. As Paul found out, gosh, you all drank all the wine for the Lord's Supper again. Had to get it back in. I mean, that happened all the time at Corinth. Purpose number 5 is charity. We work, and some of you all take a deep breath on this one. We work in order to give the money away. I know that's true, because about the time you get a paycheck, the time you get home, it's gone. It's already been prepaid. You got to pay the bills. Charity, we work in order to give the money away. There's the heart we need to have. The more I can give, meaning the more that I've been blessed, or you've been blessed, and the more that you can help the personalities that God sends your way. Don't be foolish with that. Don't be foolish with that. But the maturity for the Christian is to know that sometimes if you keep helping, you do more harm. And you have to stop it. But the more that you can help others, that's such a blessing for us. Ephesians 4:28, second part. We must work doing something useful with our own hands, that we may have something to share with those in need. Doing something useful with our hands. Oh, the idle hands, they're a devil's workshop. And when those hands get too idle, then they are, you're in a mess. They are too. Acts 20, verse 35. I've been a constant example of how you can help the poor by working hard and remembering the words of the Lord Jesus. It is more blessed to give than to receive. All right, here's something for you. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to tell me, listen to what Paul is saying, and remembering the words of the Lord Jesus, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Where did Jesus make that statement? Where's the scripture where Jesus made that statement?
In the Bible.
You're wrong, both of you. It is not found. It is not. We realize that many times when the apostles were quoting Jesus, you don't have any back reference. So, see, it's not, did they write down every word from him? No, there's a lot of words there. We have, but when they say we know what the Lord Jesus said, all of that crew's agreeing. You and I have no reference because it's not in the New Testament. It's not in the Old Testament. It's in the, do what? It is where he himself said it. Where Jesus said it. This is Paul quoting Jesus. Yes. The Apostle Paul is quoting Jesus here. And he says, the Lord Jesus tells us it is more blessed to give than to receive.
It's still considered biblical.
That's correct. Meaning that Jesus said a whole lot of things that wasn't recorded. And the reference is those who followed him are quoting him quite a bit. And many things you'll look back and say, I don't see where he said that. Doesn't mean he didn't say it. Okay? Purpose number 6 is the purpose of eternity. That's what work is about. The purpose of, well, you mean I got to work my way to heaven? No, listen. Matthew 6:33, be concerned above everything else with the kingdom of God and what he requires of you. And he will provide you with all the other things. 2 Corinthians 4:14-15. We know that the same God who raised Jesus will also raise us one day. And as God's grace brings more and more people to Christ, there will be great thanksgiving and God will receive more and more glory. Matthew 6:20, Jesus is speaking. Store up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Every ounce of who you are, once given to Christ, your outward conduct is a result of your inward condition. If you say you love the Lord and then you despise the creation of God, there's a problem with that. You and I are to help folk, but we are not supposed to stand back and allow folks to take advantage of that help. We are to store up the treasures in heaven. That's the real retirement home for each of us. We will retire, and you know what we'll do when we get there? Work. See, God's work continues, never ending. Never ending. One day, here you go, this is the end of it. 1 Corinthians 3:13-15. One day, there is going to come a time of testing at the judgment day to see what kind of work each builder has done. Everyone's work will be put through the fire to see whether or not it keeps its value. If the work survives the fire, that person will receive a reward. But if the work is burned up, the builder will suffer great loss. That's us. The builders themselves will be saved, but it's like someone escaping a fire. A lot of the works that each one of us do in the name of Christ have been done without the heart of Christ. Only thing that's going to make it through the flame is everything you and I do out of pure love. If we give out of love, we give out of concern, we help because we're concerned, that's called love. Love is the only product that you and I have that is going to make it to heaven with us. All the bad statements, they're not even going to make it there. Remember, everyone will answer for every idle word. And now we know, just check with the NSA, they know every idle word most of us have been using. So what we do know is this. The idle words don't bring strength. And the idle words are not from love. Did you ever just lose it? Estelle, did you ever lose your temper? And just want to slap John there? Because,
all the time.
Yep. That's, well, then those are the idle words, the foolishness and all. But Christian, listen to me. There will be none of your idle words in heaven. Those idle words that you and I have spoken are never allowed to come in the presence of God. It's taken care of at the judgment seat of Christ. The garbage burned. We're shined up. John and I's already got our heads shining. And God shines the rest of us up as his son introduces us to the kingdom.